Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
What the hell is going on here? Josh, are we okay? I was just checking.
Is that me?
Hello?
The internet
hello?
Tubes.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. I think it might be me.
That's all right. We're joined with Nick. Nick, our two decades that I haven't seen Nick, and he comes in and seamlessly joins us on the show. We have an issue that we have to deal with here before. We could always start again. We could always start over.
Well, I'm looking for the echo.
Hello.
Trying to figure out where it's coming from.
Okay.
Is there an echo now?
There.
Hello.
Is.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. Hello. The echo is still there.
All right.
So now we're just going to mute each other.
One.
Echo now.
One. Gone.
It's gone.
Gone. Awesome. We don't have to restart.
All right. Good.
That's good.
Did you change something, Nick?
Can Nick hear us?
I'm like changing my volume on my headphones a little bit.
All right. Well, that seemed to clear the echo.
Okay. Hello, 1, 2. 1, 2. Yeah, good.
Do you want to restart or just roll?
No. No, right. It's a podcast. Who gives a shit?
It's a lot.
You know what? Can I just start with a compliment for your Korean dad, Nick Cho, who has really seamlessly kind of popped in this week to help, and I knew he would. That's why I want – I don't – Nick, it's really important for you to know this fact. This wasn't done for any other reason than you came on the show and you were so chill and you fit in so seamlessly and you had a little show history, which was great as well. But I kind of knew that it would be like yesterday would be where we just chat with you. And, you know, it was just cool for me because nothing makes me happier other than people saying I went through a tough time and I listened to you. That I love. But what I also love right behind it is people that have been interns on the show, that have come through the show, that have worked on the show, whatever incarnation it's been, and gone on to do other things and done it successfully. That gives me tremendous satisfaction, and you're in that category as well. So my question to you would be, with you know, you do something totally different than I do every day. How did you enjoy it? How did you feel about it? And I want you, and you're an honest guy, and I want a brutally honest answer. Did you, the experience of coming in and sitting in for an entire show where you're, you know, you're carrying that suitcase, how did you find the experience yesterday?
I mean, first of all, again, like, you know, thanks for all the kind words. I mean, I'll say right back at you that the thing for me is to sit here with you like this. Now, there's a couple thoughts that come to mind. One is that through my influencer work, I've met enough celebrities and famous people to where, like, a lot of the kind of starstruck sort of feelings and things like that has kind of gone away. Now I've met so many people and actually become friends with people that I used to, you know, admire on movie screens and stuff like that. Which is
really cool. I didn't know that your world took you there. Are there? Could you? I know you're not a humble bragger. Could you drop a name or two on us? Because I've always been like, would there be a luminary that come across your path?
There are people who I've met. There are people who I have rapport with. Like, if I send them a DM, like, we'll mix it up and we'll talk. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who we've had lunch and or dinner or coffee, like, you know, kind of thing. I've met a lot of people. As far as...
Does the California connection help you a little bit with that?
You know what it is more than that? It's actually the Asian American thing. It's that, like, the Asian Americans and entertainment thing... is a smaller community. And so there is a little bit of like, you know, game recognized game, like I see you kind of thing.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Like I actually have the pass hanging on the lamp behind me because it was a really fun memory, but I went to the premiere. We were talking about Marvel movies yesterday a little bit
toward
the end of the show. Simu Liu, who was Shang-Chi,
Is this a Marvel movie?
Yes, that's a Marvel character. Yes.
Mike has yes. that look on your face. It's like
the Marvel character with rings.
I told you I am.
Yes.
I am so
what did you just call me?
I am so completely out of touch it's when okay. it comes to the Marvel universe. Now, if you'd mentioned, since you're talking about the Asian connection, if you'd mentioned the blockbuster Crazy Rich Asians, that would be, I would track with that one. Have you ever met Awkwafina?
I have not met Awkwafina. Mm-hmm. I could meet Awkwafina next week at an event that I've been invited to. I'm contemplating whether I'm going to go or not.
Tell her, if you meet her, tell her I'm a huge fan, please.
I will say, I discovered this recently on the internet. No, this is the weirdest story. My younger daughter graduated from high school. Her mom, my ex-wife, you know, flew down from Seattle to come for the graduation party and stuff like that. And my ex-wife turns to me at some point and says, "How did you like being mentioned on that Awkwafina show?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Nora from Queens. There's a series that Awkwafina did that she like created and is the star of."
I hope she gets more acting gigs because I think she's absolutely amazing. I think she's phenomenal.
What are you talking about? She's got a great voice, right? Especially you being a voice guy, you got to appreciate. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right.
And so I pull up the show, kind of do a quick search, and sure enough, Bowen Yang from SNL. It mentions like, and blah, 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 the your Korean dad guy from TikTok. The guy who says, "Hey, I'm your Korean dad." And I'm just like blown away.
Were they positive about you?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. It was just like a cute little kind of mention in the same sentence as Tony Robbins, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but yes. I would also imagine, based on the content I've seen that you do, that you would I would think you would be low on the hater scale, that you wouldn't catch a tremendous amount of grief. You know, even in my tiny little level compared to what you do, I mean, I have websites dedicated to hating on me. I literally have that, and I still have that. And, you know, and it just, you have to kind of force yourself to go, any pub's good pub. Hey, if they're talking about you, they're listening. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But still, with what you do, it's just so decent and kind and positive in a way that I would imagine that would, you know, you don't get a lot of haters, do you?
You are actually right. And it's kind of a weird topic because I have other friends of, you know, makes either similar content, but maybe are women, you mm-hmm. know, and they get all kinds of weird, creepy stuff yeah. that I don't have to deal with.
Right.
But let me get back to the original thing you're asking about, the experiences of you know,
celebs.
Being here yesterday, you know, so I remember very distinctly, especially because, you know, there's that certain age range in your early 20s, like late teens, where like your brain is especially spongy and you like things happen, you like really remember them really vividly, that, you know, I remember always being nervous around you, you know, and you know,
I remember you just make me laugh. You're funny. Even when you talk like that, when you say that, even being nervous around me, when you talk about that particular era, I mean, there was a dickish era that was just where we were swinging dicks. And well, I think you were probably there right when that was happening.
Because right? that was peak, like, you know, time for that kind of format, that industry,
right.
You know, like every town had the kings of the local radio airwaves.
Absolutely. It was a great time in radio.
You know, I think that you guys made a great case for being the kings of DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did well. And it was when you hear something like that, you're just it's like when you came on the first time and I asked you, I said, was it okay? Were we okay?
Well, but that's mixed up in the fact that, like, again, I mentioned that first, you know, appearance last week that I heard you guys on the WAVA show when I woke up, you know, for seventh grade to get ready for the bus. Like, you know, you were rock stars for me in that sort of way. And so that all said, you know, sitting here like this with you, even if I think we were in person, I'd be just as comfortable. That comes with age and maturity and experience, again, having met a lot of folks and being able to kind of, you know, shake off a lot of those feelings and realize, you know, fundamentally for me, it's been about seeing the person behind the persona, you know, realizing that we're all just regular people. Some people just have weird jobs, you know? And so that's a big part of it and a big part of my experience and just reflecting on, you know, this experience. The other part of it, which I think is more interesting, is that, like, you're like, you know, as far as this kind of thing, as far as talk and, you know, making each other laugh and telling stories, I mean, you are a formative part of my upbringing. And that's not an overstatement.
So sorry. So very sorry.
You know,
can't tell you, like, how sorry I am.
You know, that's if,
so
if,
sad. So very sad.
You did some damage to other young people. Like, you didn't do it to me.
when you get acknowledged out in public, is there an average way people, you know, and that's a dumb question. Wait, I'm going to reframe the question because I wouldn't like that question myself. When you get approached.
No, that's actually a good question.
With the nature of what you do, what is there a consistency to it? Do people approach you a similar way most of the time?
There's a range of things.
Okay.
I mean, of course, the first level is like, you know, I'll get a certain kind of look and I'll wonder, like, are they recognizing me? Are they going to approach? I've had people come up and say, like, this is the thing that's fun. People will say, are you on TikTok? That's sort of like a kind of, you know, feeling out kind of version of it. Some people will just say, like, are you the Korean dad? Some people will say, like, are you my Korean dad? Are you our Korean dad?
That's got to feel cool.
And also, like, you know, some people will say, like, are you Nick Cho? But it's usually a nice conversation. I've had to learn how to do this better. I think at first it really threw me off because, you know, and maybe you've experienced this a lot too. When people come up, like, sometimes, like, I don't know what they want. And I do have a people pleaser side to me to where, like, I want to make them happy. Right. I want to give them a good experience of meeting me, but I don't know what they want. You know, you talk about having websites that you know, dedicated to you. I don't know how serious you are about that.
It's minimal, but it's been, because I'm minimal, but it's like it's significant enough where, you know, if I was to linger in there, you know, it would be painful, you know, and yeah. They're in different spots around the interverse, you know, that's the way it works.
Yeah. So I had an experience when I was working on the Donna Mike show with you, where it was, I think it was Elvis, you know, this Rob would be helpful here, but I think it was Elvis' death day. I was dressed up in an Elvis suit sent to the local Krispy Kreme in Alexandria, Virginia. And I remember sitting there and just like having, like, you know, the adrenaline coursing through my veins and just being nervous. And this was back in the day. This is like 96. So there was no, you know, FaceTime digital connection. It was right. Like, it was an analog cell phone, right? Like back in the day, I remember, you know, that experience. And then, you know, having things kind of, I'd call in on the phone. And I'm sitting there at this donut shop counter dressed up like Elvis. And there's this guy sitting in across from me, like staring at me, like with this big, like.
I know the look.
And he's like trying to engage with me. But, you know, I'm new at this game. Like, I'm stressed. So I'm going inward and like trying to think, oh, if they call me again and they come back to me, like, I got to have some funny and interesting things to say. Some
patter.
I'm working on that in my head. And so he's like, hey, you know, I'm like, hi, you know, so I kind of like, I didn't blow him off, but I wasn't very friendly to him. That night I go home and on like the primitive 1996 internet, it was like a Usenet group or something. I'm like, I see this post. It's like, I drove 2 hours to see Nick Cho.
Oh, no.
Such a dick.
That's the way it goes. That is the way it goes.
You know, when I talk about formative, like, that experience sticks with me so vividly.
If you're remembering it from 1996, I would imagine so.
Well, it was a disappointment. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people would have read that post and been like, F that guy, you know, kind of thing.
But some do. Some do, and some people get excited because I knew it. I knew he'd be a dick.
But for me, when I read that, it was like, you know, and this is a lot of the way that my mind works and informs my politics and my values and everything is like, I can see how both things are true. I was going through my experience. That's what that guy experienced.
Right.
He's just, you know, talking about what he's experiencing. And so, you know, it really, as I kind of got TikTok famous, it made me really think about, like, you know, what do I want? What kind of experiences do I want people to have? And so, but that all said, like, all these little things are accumulations of you know, experiences and things I've learned and things I've learned not to do, you know, and lessons that I've learned. And it is kind of amazing, if you don't mind me saying, to think about how many of those lessons were learned working with you.
So how did you like the full co-hosting gig, which is nothing, you know, it's really not like what you do. You know, you prepare your stuff and in a much different way. How did you find the experience yesterday of doing
it? It's been fun. I mean, I've been wanting to do a podcast, like host a podcast.
Mm-hmm. You'd be good at it. You'd be very good at it.
I think the one that I had before I was pretty good at, and, you know, running it totally solo on my mm-hmm. own,
right.
You know, with a co-host, but, you know, he would just, as we talked about, he'd just show up.
Well, when you work collaboratively over the years with enough different people, you find there are people that do that, and that comes into the pleasing part. If you're a pleaser, you end up. And I'm fortunate enough where I work with I've worked with pleasers, and I've worked with non-pleasers too that don't give a rat's ass, and that's the challenge when that happens. But when people are pleasers, they're helpful. And, you know, fortunately working with Rob, Rob is the uber pleaser, you know, so it's doing that. And then Josh, what's great about Josh is new to our podcast. Josh is, I haven't worked with a lot of people like Josh. Josh is a kind of unique and just is a, but he's a doer. He just does stuff and it's been refreshing. So that's a compliment for you too, Josh, that you just kind of get stuff done. You know, I wouldn't call you a on fire personality, but you are, you know, you're somebody that just gets the job done and you can communicate in this medium as well.
Yeah.
But the honesty is what I love. And that was like right out of the gate. So that's kind of a good balance that we have on this show right now. So I'm enjoying it.
It works well.
Yeah, and it's keeping it's keeping me alive, keeping me chugging along. I love
it. And, you know, what's also rare about Josh, you don't see a lot of faux hawks these days.
You don't see faux hawks. You really don't. Oh. You don't see that. Look at that thing.
Yeah, it's coming back.
It's coming back. You bringing it back, Josh? Are you bringing it back?
Well, I noticed after visiting my brother-in-law for Baltimore, I then saw him in the Outer Banks, and he had a similar haircut.
Ah, there you go. So you influenced your own brother. There it is, close to home.
But, Nick, I do think you would be perfect for an advice-based podcast.
It's one of the things we talked about. You know, I'll share a little bit, and I don't know how this is going to land, but I'll share it anyway because it's the honest sort of experience. Like, being in this space of being an influencer and having millions of followers and all that kind of stuff, you know, we talk about this about social media and the technology. Things are moving so fast, like the culture can't keep up. And that's true about so many things. And I think it's important for people to keep that in mind. It's just like if your car is going at 90 miles per hour, you better know you're going at 90 miles per hour so that you, you know, carry yourself accordingly. With the influencer thing, Hollywood, like, so as I moved to LA and even before I moved to LA, like taking meetings, like, you know, I've had 20 something meetings about developing a TV show of some kind, you know, and all kinds of different TV shows. And talked about podcasts, and I have some projects that are in the works more now as I've sort of pivoted, especially in light of like a lot of the Hollywood work slowdown and stuff like that.
First TV project was wildly successful. I don't know if anybody, well, most people know it. Squid Game was really there. It is. I had to get one in. That's the first one in 2 days that I've done.
Reference.
I don't even.
A little salute back at you.
It's good. Yeah, kill them all. That was something else. But go ahead. I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No,
I had to do shtick.
You know, having all these meetings and things like that, and you know, with TV producers and development producers and whoever, and heads of, you know, production companies, and the thing that is universal in all those meetings is every time I've had a meeting with them, behind their eyes, they have this, what the F am I doing with you? What are we doing here? You know, kind of feeling, you know.
That the people talking to you.
Yes, that they don't really know, like, they know that the influencer thing is really popular and that it's could be lucrative if done well. There's an opportunity here. There's a gold mine of some kind, you know, all that sort of stuff. There's an opportunity.
Right.
But
well, they look also, at your numbers, right? I mean, they look at your numbers, and that's, you know,
exactly.
And they look at the –
they drool
yeah.
at the numbers.
Sure, sure.
Absolutely. And the potential, you know, there's potential in, you know, social media and things like that being sort of a discovery, kind of like a scouting, talent scouting sort of function too, right?
Yeah,
you know, so
I get
so
it.
You, all these sorts of things. They're like, oh, we love what you do, you know. But there's this thing called Hollywood Nice. Are you familiar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's like, oh, you're great. You're going to do great. Yeah. We're going to love to work with you. We're going to figure something out.
Soul-crushing environment out there for that. I mean, really. And so, first of all, let's throw out all the people like my daughter that have gone out there and have not gotten the break. But when you do get the break, the level of soul-crushing bullshit that you have to endure even to get a project done. And then it's only the beginning, and it's just, and Hollywood Nice is just, yeah. And because they are, because most of them, I'm sorry to say this, but I do believe this, and this goes for radio executives as well, are dead inside. They are, you are meat. You're going into a lion's den, and they're looking at you, and this ought to taste good. Like, I hope this can sustain us. That's really what you are.
It's the numbers.
You're a commodity, and that's why they're thinking, hey, this might be something. So if you're looking for anything genuine, like somebody who really likes you for you, or likes your work to a degree, where that's hard to find. So that's kind of why you probably experience that.
It is hard to find, but you know, it's like people who are out, you know, dating, right? It's like there's always the hope that you're going to meet like a soulmate of some kind and connect and certain kind of like meeting of the minds, you know, sufficiently so to where it's like you can make something happen. I mean, the Hollywood Nice thing, I think for people listening, like I don't want people to think that it's just like this big bullshit sort of machine. You know, what I've come to realize is that it's about keeping the doors open, you know, whereas like maybe the culture around New York City is like slamming doors in your face. Like, you know, the culture, business culture.
I know what you're saying, where
in LA,
we can't really step on anybody because you just never know.
Right.
Don't burn your bridges is what
exactly.
It is. Whereas it's a smaller, exponentially smaller community of show business in New York. And so it's done a little bit, you know, really, if you talk about, I know all this, not based on me, even though I've taken meetings with TV people in the past out in Los Angeles, I get this through my daughter who auditions and auditions and auditions and auditions and auditions, and the theater community in New York in many ways is harsher than sure. the other, you know, entities with television and film out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you come from a different world, and you come with your own cred, as it were, to go into these things. But I would imagine if you're, you know, you're distrustful of a lot of it. That's what I would think you would have, right? You would have that kind
of mistrustful. That
you be that you when you say behind their eyes, they're saying, "What are we doing here?" You know, I mean, I can see where you would have that.
Well, for me, it's actually less about distrust. It's more about trying to size up the situation, like on both like a micro and macro scale. In other words, like they're looking at me trying to figure out like what the hell am I doing here. Because this internet, like social media, TikTok thing happened like, I mean, it literally happened 3 years ago, right? And so all these like TikTok famous kids and people and me and like others are dropping out of the sky, And then the entertainment folks are like, I guess we got to deal with these people now too.
That's true though. That's true.
And they don't know. And no one from like this world has really made it big off the platform. In other words, no one's really crossed over into, you know, Hollywood TV, movies, you know, whatever, right, successfully yet. And so, you know, it's literally feels like month after month, like that door was closing, you know, more and more also because there wasn't a track record of success. There was a track record of failures. You know, there were these like content influencer house shows and the child development show.
I get what you're saying. Yeah,
You can't point to the Kardashians and say, like, no, see, like, influencer show. That's a whole different category.
Different world, different thing. Different world. With the failures, and if there had been more successes, then, of course, you get that whole copycat frenzy that goes on. So you're saying that really hasn't happened that much with people that, you know, qualify. Well, how many people that aren't influencers call themselves influencers?
Right.
You know? I mean, so that's you're kind of so you feel like that window of opportunity is because there haven't been the overwhelming successes is not not there as much as it may have been in the past.
I mean, I subscribe to the LA Times out here. And I mean, it's front page news at least on the website about the Hollywood, you know, work slowdown, like things have dropped like 15-20%. You know, I went and saw a showbiz friend of mine. She's a stand-up comedian and comedy writer. I went to go see them last night up in L.A. And you know, she's trying to figure out work stuff. You know, like everyone's kind of struggling right now, except for those who aren't. But, you know, that's how America kind of is.
Well, it probably is. I think when you talk about COVID affecting different industries, show business was... And then we had a writer's strike, and then we had an actor's strike, and
it's
then,
Netflix.
It's and
Netflix the net, has ruined everything.
Netflix has destroyed the world, but we still that's where we're getting our content. But that you know, it used to be
the business model.
Used to be 20 different places where you would have movies produced and big studios with multiple projects, and it's not there anymore. And I think the quality suffers, you know. I mean, I know you guys don't get mad at me, but getting back to the whole Marvel thing, Jesus Christ, can we have another comic book movie? Because it, you know, it does bank. I mean, I go to Despicable Me with my kid and watch the trailers, and I'm like, oh, God, isn't anybody bored with this crap yet? Isn't anybody tired of this yet with this? You know, CGI, artificial violence, superhero garbage. But so far, that seems to be what's getting made out there. Like Deadpool and Wolverine. Whoopee! Yay. Maybe I'm old. I'm sorry. That might just be it.
I mean, the business is ultimately very conservative. Like, fiscally conservative. You know, they're looking for safe bets. You know, one thing that I find myself talking about a lot lately in the past, you know, few years is that, you know, when you enter a space where people are doing their job, what you start to realize, at least for me, is, you know, there's a certain amount of people there's a certain amount of work people are doing to like do their job, and there's a certain amount of work people are doing to keep their job. Mm-hmm. And there are certain situations, and we can all think of them, where you meet somebody who's, you know, either at your own job or something, and most of their job is just keeping their job. Most of their day and most of their effort is just keeping their job.
In this entity, Nick, I can tell you that what I do is doing my job each and every day. What Josh does is trying to allow me to keep my job every day. Would that be fair, Josh? Would that be a fair assessment of what you do?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I allow you to come on the mic and do what you want, and I handle all the stuff behind the scenes.
It's tough out there. It's tough. Yeah, everybody wants a piece of that. I see though. On my feeds most recently, as I try to do what Rob does, and I'm getting everybody more involved with curating video for this program because that's the direction I'd like to see the show move in. I would. That's just it. We're still an audio product primarily, but I still like to – it's what I like to do. I'm looking at you. I like the visual aspect of what we do.
And it's where the world's going.
It's the direction the world is going in anyway, and I like it. what you have to do sometimes when you're curating this stuff is you have to negotiate through what the internet wants to feed you, because they feed you things. And this says something about me and my wife and everything else. What they're feeding me now, I am inundated with side hustles every single day. But it got me thinking today that with this economy that we live in right now, I think the side hustles, based on population and everything else, I think the side hustles allow room for everybody to kind of thrive, where the economic models of the old days used to be, hey, the plumber goes to school, he learns how to be a plumber, he gets a lot of people that he does plumbing for, whereas now this creature we're talking to you on now, this AI it's all changing, as Nick said, at the speed of light. But I have a sense, and this is me, check this box off, this is yours truly being hopeful for a second. I think the future, once it gets in everybody's DNA, I think the future is on the internet. Things are going to be okay, because we're all going to be able to feed each other. Am I wrong about that? You're laughing at me. I don't know. I think
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing with you.
Okay.
I see your point. And obviously, like, you have, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. I think there's a cynical version of it also, which is like, you know, you're saying like, yeah, we're going to have all these high side hustles, and eventually we'll just have a Thunderdome where, you know, we all come with our you know, spiked helmets and stuff, and that'll be our entertainment. And this post-apocalyptic world's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. And then a guy's going to wear a hockey mask, and he's going to strap somebody with ropes to the front of his vehicle that runs on ethanol, and it's going to be exciting. Now, I believe that people evolve, and when I look at all these people being creative, at least what I'm getting, the people that are being creative are offering services and products to other people, and there's room. That's the way I'm looking at it. There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody to do this, where I buy this product, and not only the guy that, you know, the big fat cat that's sitting in the factory is getting some money out of it, but the people that make him known to, what they're just, it's so large. It's vast. And that's what I think will help people out. I know this is heavy duty stuff, but
it's,
you know,
also the side hustle push is also a get rich quick scheme.
It is.
They're definitely
it is.
Promoting it that way.
It is. And I think that's wrong. I think, and I agree with you, that a lot of people are out there, because the people, beware that the people telling you about the side hustle are getting rich by promoting the side hustle.
Right. Right.
So, and that's been around for a million years.
And there's
too.
A bunch of stories now about girls who went to OnlyFans because they were told they'd make tons of money.
Right.
And they put everything out there and aren't making ends meet.
Well, because maybe, you know, maybe, Josh, what they put out there was not what they should put out there.
Or there's,
you know,
too much.
I mean. Right. I mean, it's still, you know, it depends on the individual, really. I think just, you know, anybody, I'm not going down this road because I will get in trouble if I go down this road, you know. But
of these sort of environments or platforms or industries, right, they kind of dangle this dream of, you know, what success looks like. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have thousands, if not millions of people who are like, okay, I'm going to vie for that, you know, that prize. And that helps feed an economy. You have
I
kids.
I think there's potential for that. That's my positive, hopeful sign that feels that. But I myself am always looking for a little something new. And it's why I am, I can say it here right now, it's a new thing for me, but I am learning Korean. There you go. I am learning Korean, and we will see. Thank you. There is breaking news. Josh, if you can get the latest on it, because I believe that, oh my God, that's loud. The Vice President, Kamala Harris, has selected a running mate. That's a new as we come to this show this morning. It has already happened, and we will do that and talk about that and have you all, you know, break that down. I'll use the word, we'll unpack it. We'll unpack it when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. But
whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
First, let me tell you about a wonderful product. I love this product, laundry sauce. It's right here. And there's nothing like doing a laundry sauce commercial while I am
laundry sauce
sniffing my laundry sauce dryer sheets. Oh, my God. Listen, the laundry detergent we use in the O'Mara house used to come in a big, stupid jug. And the smell was meh. Didn't care for it. A little medicinal. Not medicinal. It just didn't smell that good. That's why I switched to laundry sauce. Now, not only do I have the dryer sheets, but I got the little pods right here. Do not eat. Laundry sauce has partnered with one of the great fragrance houses in the world, and it smells amazing. Hard to smell through the plastic. They've stripped away all the unnecessary ingredients, and they maximized hardworking stain fighters to ensure your favorite clothes come out looking brand new. And it's not just pods. Laundry sauce makes scent boosters, dryer sheets that I just showed you, dryer balls, fabric softeners, even candles. Plus, if you aren't happy, send back your laundry sauce for a full refund. Yeah, I can smell it. No questions asked. Come smell me in Las Vegas. Elevate your laundry with Laundry Sauce. Now is the time to check it out. Head to laundrysauce.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS at checkout for 15% off. That's the best offer you'll find, but you must use our code TMOS. 15% off. Laundrysauce.com/TMOS. Promo code TMOS for 15% off. All right. I got to do the thing, right? I got to do the news thing. There we go. There it is. Sorry, I got discombobulated. Because I wanted to start with something I do not have prepared in the news today. I wanted to find out, has Kamala Harris settled on the governor of Minnesota? Is that the truth? There he is.
Yes, there he is.
Tim Walz. I love the choice. I'll tell you why I love the choice. The Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. Yeah, how political are you, Nick? How political do
I'm
you
very,
get?
Very political.
Very political. Okay. Yes. I don't even know what team you play for, but I will. Ask you what do you think? What do you think of the choice? Are you happy with the choice? I think the choice is kind of cool.
I think he's cool. I mean, it's interesting. You know, Tim Walz was the guy. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I've been trying to practice like who started this whole like the Republicans are weird.
They give him credit for it. They give him credit for the whole weird thing. I have to say, as this pick has come through, of all of the potential veeps or the potential running mates for Kamala Harris, he might be the one I know the least about. But there's something immediately when I saw him speak that I got a kind of a good vibe about. I kind of like the guy.
He has a certain type of familiarity, like we've seen him before, even if you haven't seen him before, kind of thing. I mean, he vaguely looks like, I don't know what, Tim Conway.
Looks like Dick Cheney, really, a little bit
Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. You know, a certain kind of balding, you know, white guy. I mean, he could even be from a distance, like
what? Like what, Nick? Like what? What is he? What is
our,
he like?
Our current president's like stunt double, right? Like,
you know. He could, yeah. And that's not, you know, to give that kind of comfort to the old farts out there. We will wait to see. I think yes, go ahead.
Well, he lines up on a lot of the same issues with Kamala,
right?
That, where Shapiro kind of some things were going to set her base off. This kind of strengthens her base.
Yeah, the Shapiro, they said he sounded a little like Barack Obama. I didn't think so when I heard him speak. And I
see that more out of the governor of Maryland.
The governor of Maryland?
Westmore.
Okay, all right.
They're pushing him on that Barack track.
Okay, all right, that's interesting. So this guy, get ready. get ready for the media frenzy on this dude. We'll see what happens. But Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, named the running mate for Kamala Harris, and they're going to be doing a world tour. Yes, go ahead.
Josh, it's Kamala.
Yes, I know. I'm working on that.
You know, you're saying it the Republican way.
Well, he's
a Republican.
Yeah, we have a balance.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
But maybe it's even more important to say it's Kamala.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, there it is. But, we get that. Where I play golf down here, Kamala.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all the time. We will see as time goes on. We will find out more about him. And, you know, these people are really, really vetted, and he's been in the spotlight for a long time. So it will be interesting to see how he is received and, you know, what the data is that comes out. I get a good kind of vibe, get a grandfatherly little vibe out of the guy. How old is he? Do we know how old he is? Yeah, we can find that out.
Let's see. I can find out.
He's 23.
His first term as governor is when the George Floyd riots happened, so okay. There's going to be a lot of talk about that, and he is 60 years old.
He's 60 okay. years old. I mean, I think he's cool.
I look younger than he does.
When
yes,
you,
yes, he looks older than 60.
Yes. That's awesome.
Skincare.
I love looking younger, and this is real. It's thinning, but it's real. This is not colored hair up here. There you go. How about that? Huh?
For 50 years old, I'm doing pretty good. I still have like almost pretty much nothing.
That's you know, that you have you know, you're a very young looking 50.
Yes, you know? I know.
Congratulations.
Tim Walz is cool. Congratulations to him. Mm-hmm. I think when we first heard the Joe Biden dropping out and the Kamala was stepping up news, I think that, you know, we kept thinking, like, you know, like anyone who's really politically engaged, like the obvious choice is going to be an older white guy. It's fun to at least imagine someone who's not. And so I think at first our minds kind of went to Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan, would have been kind of interesting. The sort of balls of having two women on the ticket. Just
yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't work in the political arena.
Yeah, it's sad that you can never pick who you think would be best.
Yeah.
You have to do the math and analysis of what will make you win.
And the credentials for Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona, with, you know, I mean, hell, the courage of an astronaut. But there was a part of me when I looked at the guy, and I'm sorry, I hate to be so superficial, but when I looked at the guy, I thought that maybe he was an alien. I'm sorry. I just feel like someone invaded his body when he was in space, and maybe he was like... Let's get to the rest of the news, and because I want to talk about something much more important than the vice presidential choice in the election. French pole vaulter, we had him yesterday on the news. Anthony Ammirati, his bulge may have betrayed him at the Olympics, but it could make him big money on the internet.
I hope so.
The porn site, I am not familiar with this one. And I like to think I know many of them. Cam Soda. Are you familiar with that, Nick? Do you know that one? Cam Soda. Have you ever heard of that?
Maybe.
Okay. They've offered him $250,000 to do a 60-minute webcam show.
All right. That is a sex site.
Yeah. It's a porn site.
Did you say
it's
porn site?
Yeah, porn site.
All right. It is just live cams.
Live cams. Okay, they've offered him $250,000 to do a 60-minute webcam show where he shows his bulge to the world. As usual, it's pretty unlikely this would happen, and Cam Soda knows that. Porn sites do this stuff all the time just to get attention, and they have, because I'm talking about it right now. So, Mr. Camerati or Ammirati or whatever your name is, way to go. Good pole vaulter. Didn't clear the bar, though. That's the most important thing when you talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. Moving right along, Brooke Shields. I bring this to your attention because there, to me, is a creep factor of creep factors to this.
Oh.
She is auctioning off the Calvin Klein jeans she wore in the infamous ad campaign all the way back in 1980 when she was 15 years old. They are valued at $50,000. Brooke says, quote, "Can you imagine my waist was ever that small? It's terrifying. This is just weird. This is but I hope that somebody enjoys these. just as much as I have and finds them as meaningful as I do. I can't wait for someone to show these off. So Brooke is communicating like these are going to be purchased by a young woman who will wear them, whereas I think
this is a man.
That there will be a dude, some creep out there that puts it either on his wall, and I find that a little odd. Or maybe that's just the way my brain goes. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, let's hope that that doesn't happen. But you're right. Like, you never know. Mm-hmm. Thinking things through, like unintended consequences. you just never know. But you know, on the flip side, of course, it's like, you know, hats off to Brooke Shields. You know, she sees an opportunity here. She's doing it from like, you know, looking straight ahead, very pure of heart. You know,
yes.
in her approach. I'm sure she's not.
At least it sounds like that, Nick. You know, right. I'm a cynic, so I don't trust anyone. I really do. It's like, I think she's doing it for the money. And she's like sitting there. She might say that in public with, I hope somebody wears them that can show them off and show them where with her team, you know, a bunch of guys and cigars going, and there'll be some creep that'll pay 300 grand for these, Brooke.
they're expecting $50,000.
Yeah, $50,000.
So some yes. creep is going to have to come out and say he's a creep by spending this money.
Or if they would, I would say that they would be put in a museum of television history or advertising or something like that. Right?
That's possible.
They could do that. I'm still waiting for Marky Marks briefs. That's the one. I'll be bidding on that one. I'm saving up right now. That's the way that goes. This is an interesting theory. It comes from a dubious source, however. Death Row Records founder Suge Knight, in his podcast, which he hosts from prison. See, anybody can host a podcast. Anybody can do it, baby. Suge suggested that he knows why Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez broke up. Would you like Suge's take on this?
Please.
Suge says it's because the FBI showed Ben incriminating materials that they picked up from their raid on Diddy's house. Remember, J-Lo dated Diddy from 1999 to 2001. And if Diddy really is in all the freaky stuff feds are investigating him for, maybe Jennifer was into it with him when they were together. This is a big stretch right here. Suge says, quote, they go raid Puffy's house and they get all these videos of J-Lo doing this and J-Lo doing that. He also thinks they tipped Ben off that J-Lo lied about the 1999 nightclub shooting where a rapper named Shine went to prison, even though some people think Diddy was responsible. So why would federal agents go out of their way to contact Ben, Suge? I'd like to know the answer to that. Well, he's got an answer for that. He said, it's a white man who got respect in the white world. I'm quite sure they said, we want to show you some things about your wife. Sounds like he's having maybe a tough time in prison. But he gets to do it. I didn't know you could do a podcast from prison. How cool is that, right?
You have to, like, hide the microphone up your...
I assume there's you can do it. Like,
there's Nick coming through. That's the old Nick coming right through. Where's your where's your webcam? There we are. Kind of weird. Just kind of a weird theory. But do you think we will ever have it exposed? What was Diddy in the parties and stuff? Because there's tons of allegations here, you know?
Well, there was that big police raid.
Right.
A couple months ago. It took 3 or 4 months ago. How long has it been now? And we haven't really heard... Yeah, exactly what's going on with that investigation. Whatever.
Yeah, nobody really knows. Is it, trafficking? What's going on? We'll have to wait and see if there's anything that comes out from that. That's American Friendship Project looked into how many friends the average American has in 2024. I thought this would be a wonderful, and I'm talking about real friends, and how it compares to 50 years ago. Even though we're all overworked and constantly online now, not much has changed. The average American has 4 to 5 people they consider to be true friends. That's pretty much in line with every year since 1970. Only 2% said they have no friends, which is also about the same. One thing we do wish we had more of, though, is additional time with friends. I would put myself in that category. Most people say they're good with the number of friends they have. I would say I am not. I wouldn't mind a few more close friends. This business does not lend itself, in my humble opinion, to having really close friends. But that might be a cop-out on my part. 42% aren't as close with their friends as they'd like to be. Do you have a lot of friends, Nick? I'm curious.
I have a good number of friends. Mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, this is a whole thing, but like there are elements of my personality, especially in terms of emotional connection, that I feel like I have more in common with women than men most of the time. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of women friends.
Okay.
Like, you know, most of my good friends have been women like throughout my life. And you know, but being a straight guy and whatever, like sometimes it gets complicated. I think that this is something that's been really important to me as a topic, is like how men view relationships and emotional things, like, you know, of all different sorts. And I think the friend thing is really important. I was going through something recently and I reached out to, you know, three really close friends, two women and one guy. And the guy was the one who called me and we had a good chat. And I was just having a heart to heart and realizing like, oh, you know, us being for each other in this sort of way, it not only does it feel good, but it also feels kind of rare. And so it's definitely the sort of thing where it's like, you know, how can we get people reaching out more, connecting more, having more of those deep friendships? And I think for a lot of, for men, it's taking that leap, just trusting like, you know what, if they called me, I'd appreciate it. I'm going to just call them up.
You know, it's effort. It's effort. And I think that Carla, you know, at one point, and she said it to me multiple times, and the exchange always goes the same way. Carla says, you know, Mike, in order to have a friend, you have to be a friend. And I always look at her and go, nope. That's just the way it goes every time. We told you about a new AI companion. It's a new AI companion necklace. This is our final story today, that keeps you company if you don't have actual friends. But a new study found that that's not really the case for most people. So as far as I am concerned, the totals that we have for this, the last story we're talking about here with friends, you have to have, I would say probably I have two close friends. And I think I'm stretching that, and I find that pathetic. If you had to put a number on it, I'm talking about close friends, people you could call in the middle of the night and would be there for you. What would you be able to give me a number on that, Nick?
That how many that I have, or what I think is
total,
is
like a real number. Could you give it, or is it so many that you don't even want to put a number on it?
Wow. I mean, when you phrase it that way, like someone you call in the middle of the night, like it's like zero. Like I wouldn't want to, if I cared about someone that much, like I wouldn't want to wake them up. Like I would just deal with it myself, you know, kind of thing. But I would say, I mean, like I said, I was going through something. There were three people I reached out to.
Three? Would that be three to four? Would you be about the average, the national average?
Yeah, but I think that, like, that my next sort of like layer of friendships, I think there's a lot of people in there, you know?
Not me.
Yeah.
Not me at all, really. I have tons, thousands of acquaintances.
Right.
Thousands of acquaintances. Here's a good test for that. Josh, and we'll get to you. Yeah. I want to get your number as well. This is how I would pull it. I would look at true friends in this category. This is a good test for this. How many people would you be willing to travel with, go on vacation with? That's the test. And I have one couple that falls into that category.
That's it.
We've been to maybe two people that category
that
is,
you would go with, not just
that I would, that I have gone with, that visited homes, they visited my home, that type of thing. And that's that's a relatively new friend.
You said couples also.
Yes. In the case of the people that we are friendly with and we work at being friends with, that is a couple as well, because I love her and I love him. So yeah. That's it. Josh, how about you? What's your number?
My number's probably 5-6, but they're all out of town.
Okay.
I haven't made any friends since I moved to Florida 5 years ago.
Yeah. No, you know, I've got a tip for you. Go to a shooting range. That's a wonderful.
Okay.
I'm just joking. I'm right. Sorry. That's just doing shtick. Okay, we got to end this. All right, I don't know. Yes, go ahead, Nick.
Friend count is the new body count, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about sexual partners, history. Like, how many close friends do you have that you travel with? Start a men's movement. I love it.
Do you have more friends than conquests? That's, well, when you get old, that's a silly, stupid number. We'll take a break, and we will come right back on the Mike O'Mara Show with something I have absolutely no idea what, but I have it written down, so I'll be able to catch up. Ladies and gentlemen, this section of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Liquid IV. I am drinking, I forgot the name of it. I think it's in the spot. It's the sherbet flavor. It's the rainbow. It's rainbow sherbet, sugar-free, and it's absolutely wonderful.
Technique.
Sorry about that. The heat of summer is here. Your favorite summer treat could be giving you extraordinary hydration. Folks, I play golf on the surface of the sun. 107-degree heat index. Get out there and try to do that if you live up north, they say. Liquid IV has refreshing summer flavors. Popsicle Firecracker and the new sugar-free Rainbow Sherbet that hit the spot. It hits the spot when you need transformative relief all summer long. Indulge in hydration with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients from the number one powdered hydration brand in America, Liquid IV. The secret is LIV HydroScience, the science-backed formula that's an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn, I don't know why I'm using a New York accent, to turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. Check out five delicious sugar-free flavors. Raspberry melon, rainbow sherbet, the one I'm drinking today, white peach, really probably my go-to. Green grape, lemon lime used to be my favorite flavor. Now it's white peach. And the return of fan favorite hydration multiplier, cotton candy. Cotton candy. I love them all. I love them dearly. Grab a variety pack. Fun. Tear poor, live more. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are with Nick Cho, otherwise known as Your Korean Dad, who is generously given us his time this morning, and we are thrilled to have that. I know I have to – yesterday I had a little advice. I asked him a little golf advice, but this is my advice for that I require from Nick today because I am ready for summer to be over so I can stop being a cruise director. And, yes, it is the final days. How many days did you say, Josh, before we wrap it up?
Four
days.
Well, weekdays. Kids go back Monday.
They go back. My kid, I think, is next Thursday where he goes back to school. I don't know what the deal is out there on the coast, but it is he's used up all of his activities. He had pathways to STEM at the beginning. Then he had a fitness nutrition type of camp where he was, you know, for his athletics, where he was meh about it. And then there was another camp where they did something at the school. Then he did golf camp, and he was kind of hemming and hawing, but he loved it. He had a good time like he always does. Then the last 2-3 weeks have been Chateau Relaxo, late nights with gaming and days sleeping in. Even at 11 years old, and I wrote this down because my wife and I were discussing what we like to call the dance of neglect, where, you know, we're just, the tank is empty, Nick. The tank is empty, and I'm taking him over to the batting cage thing where Josh takes his kid, place called D-Bat, where they can pitch and where they can bat, and he likes that, but there's a lot of relaxation where I'll be in my easy chair and I'll hear stirring in the kitchen. I said, what are you doing?
Making cookies.
Okay. Knock yourself out. You know, don't put anything poisonous in them. It's the dance of neglect a little bit, and I'm feeling a little guilty for it.
Yeah, Fortnite's getting us through this last couple weeks.
Without video games, I don't know what parents ever did. I do not know what parents ever did. My son is, I think it's called Rainbow Six. It's hyper violent. It really is. But yeah. Once again, that's the dance of neglect.
Is he what they would call an iPad kid?
Let me bring him in.
I think every kid's an iPad kid.
I need you.
Well, there are certain kids that are a little like, you know.
My 10-year-olds take their iPads everywhere with them.
Yeah. Mine doesn't. He's not an iPad kid. He doesn't take his hand.
There you go.
Yeah. But he's got a phone, right, that he travels with?
He's on his phone constantly. Okay. Let me see if I can get him again. I'll use the intercom system. Hold on. I've got the button right here. Michael! Come here! He's coming. I heard
him. Oh, yeah, I heard him.
Did you hear that?
Good. Yes.
Yeah.
I even have a shot for him. I set up the camera so we can do... we can sit down. Let's bring him in here right now.
Prepubescent testosterone.
Let's find out. This is the lazy quest, as they say. Did you have to put on a shirt on before you came in? Yeah, you had to put a shirt on. There you go. Okay.
That's Florida. A 10-year-old boy.
Let's bring him
I got that issue here, too.
Sit down. There. Say hi to Nick.
Hello.
Hi.
You hear him okay?
The microphone's not on.
Oh, sorry. That's my fault. Can you hear him okay?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
There you go.
That's good. Let me turn you down a little bit. Now we have God, it's a terrible sound. It's my fault. Hi, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Get up on the microphone a little bit, will you, please? A little closer. Really close.
Hello.
There you go. Say that's hi to Nick.
Hello.
Hi. It's Michael, huh?
Yes.
Mike and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah, we do that. It's Mike. It's Michael. It's Mike. It's Michael.
I got a rolling shutter.
You're not an iPad kid, are you?
Do you think of yourself as an iPad kid?
No.
Are you a fan of Skibidi Toilet?
No.
But you say Skibidi Toilet. Can you sit down a little bit so we can get the shot the way we got it before
like
the show? Yeah. Turn that down. And now sit down a little more, a little lower. See? So you get your head in the shot. But you say Skibidi. You can look at the screen when I'm talking to you. You say Skibidi Toilet all the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You say it, but this is, again, Mike, there's the phrase that the kids can use, but when I say, "Do you like Skibidi Toilet?" and he says no, it's because he doesn't watch the YouTube stuff.
You don't watch the YouTube Skibidi Toilet.
Mm-mm.
What do you watch now? What are you consuming? Look at the camera. What are you consuming every day?
Rainbow Six.
Into the microphone.
Rainbow Six Siege. I like watching people put together mini bikes, like motorcycles.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
And have you watched your Korean dad? Have you watched clips of him?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of him? What do you think of his stuff?
I like him.
What do you like about him?
Thanks.
He's just funny.
Oh, he's funny.
Seems like a nice guy.
He seems like he is a nice guy. He's a very nice guy. It's why he's on the show because I like him a lot. And you know, he was a kid when I worked with him the last time. He was just a kid.
Oh, young back, adult.
Yeah, he's 50. He's a young adult. But, you know, I call kids, you know, anybody under 30, I call him a kid now.
So, right, but for him, he's thinking, like, was my dad, like, running a sweatshop? And
hey, let me ask you, Michael, your language style. Mommy was talking about, she said something about your fingers the other day, and you said, up. Was that the dog?
Yeah.
Is Mommy home?
I don't know.
What the hell is going on? Check out the dogs.
Yeah. Your dogs are getting in a fight.
God, what is that? That's like a dog. There's a dog fight.
Yeah.
Carla, what's happening here? The house is going crazy.
Apparently, Michael's been entertaining the dogs for hours.
This is the second breaking news after the Tim Walz news is that there's...
What's going on?
There's like people cleaning it.
Oh, okay. There are people working outside the house. The dogs are going out of there. Michael, the language. Mommy said you said something to her about... Shut up, dog! Mommy said you said something to her about fingers up your butt and around the corner.
I just made that up.
Oh, you made that one up. Okay. Give me some language. Look at the camera. Give me some. Center your shot.
I can't.
Other way. Lean the other way. Michael, you're driving me nuts.
Right.
I'm gonna stick up for Michael here, Mike.
Yes.
Actually, like, you know, this is also a generational thing. You know,
okay. Older?
We're used to that sort of eye contact thing, like being sort of like a professional thing, you know, talking to camera,
kind of thing.
But if you look at all the Gen Z and Gen Alpha content, they're looking off to the side, you know. It's just what's the trendy sort of thing in the
Okay, all right.
We're talking microphones. They're looking at each other, and the camera tends to be like this. I don't think he's doing that on purpose. But
okay, all right. I'm not really yelling at him, am I? Am I yelling at you? Am I kind of yelling at you? Is that why your Korean dad was kind of like nurturing me there for a second because I was kind of saying, "Don't look in that direction." You know. Yes, Josh, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think this is a downtime for the 10-year-old slang because it's summer. They got to get back to school and get back together and all learn the new words on each other. If you're not on YouTube constantly.
When we're in the car together, Michael will occasionally throw words out at me and ask me if I know them. Could you do any of the words that could you throw? Any? Are they all like not safe for broadcast?
No, okay. They're
okay.
Fine.
Okay, go ahead. Lay one on me.
Are you skibbity or sigma?
I'm not sure. Do you know what that means, Nick? Skibbity or sigma?
Yes, I do.
Is it bad?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. Can someone explain it to me? You're all being quiet right now playing this game. I don't know what's going on.
I believe skippity is like you're weird or crazy, right?
Yeah.
I've heard both these words around the house.
Yeah. Am I skippity or sigma?
Sigma is, you know, on the other hand, it's like a good thing. I think you just last year or even earlier this year, people might have talked about Riz.
Yeah,
you know, Riz. You talk about I know.
Riz something is, I have none of.
You have? Oh yes, you do. I think you have tons of Riz. Is like
charisma to attract someone.
Charisma. No, you have plenty of that.
You got Kid Riz, is what you're supposed to have now at your age. Is Kid Riz?
Kid Riz.
You can see it. It's coming from you.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. I think he's absolutely a delight to be around, and that to me is charisma. That's fantastic.
It doesn't always feel like that when you're a kid. It takes like one other kid to make you feel like, oh, people aren't really happy to see me. But then, you know, your eyes are pulled off everyone else who's so happy to see you all the time.
That's cool.
I like that you go straight into that Korean dad advice again.
Doesn't he? That sweetness that I don't have any. I do not possess that at all. I am a. Do you think, Michael? This is legitimate. You've watched him, and would you like Nick to be your dad?
I am. I'm your
Korean dad. All right. You can give us one more slang, and then you can get out of here and calm those beasts.
Can I throw one out?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to make Michael blush. Gyat.
You said that, right? That's gyat. Isn't that something with the butt?
Gyat. Like there's multiple levels of gyat. There's a level one gyat. That's flat.
Is that a butt?
Yeah.
The gyat is the butt?
Uh-huh. It's all butt
an acronym.
Yes.
Gyat. And are we talking about someone that you're like attracted to because they've got a nice gyat? Is that what it is? No.
I think it was at first. So can we tell him what? I don't know if it's okay for me to ask an 11-year-old.
I'll take my headphones off.
All right. What do you want me to ask him?
What GYAT actually stands for? It's an acronym.
Okay.
GYAT.
Yeah.
It stands for Girl Your Ass Thick.
I heard it.
Oh, wait, Michael didn't know this?
Did you not know that?
Say it again. It was
girl, your ass thick.
No. Well, I'm guessing that it probably would because gyat means butt, so it has to be related to something.
Okay, but you didn't know it specifically.
Uh-uh. Right.
All right. And one last one. Do you want to give us the last one before you split?
Because
Nick had one, and you knew that one. Do you have one that he might know or not?
My favorite is you must be from Ohio.
Oh well, yeah.
Okay, what's that? Explain
everything.
That to me.
Everything's wrong in Ohio.
Everything's wrong in Ohio. Nick, have you been familiar with that one out on the West Coast?
Ohio has become this sort of
meme state.
Yes, meme state. I love that phrase. Meme
that's
state.
Cool. That's neat. All right. Do you want to go deal with the dogs?
Michael. Sure.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Say bye to Nick.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
There he goes.
Have a nice day.
That's
goodbye, duties.
Goodbye, duties. That's his signature closing night. We got to take a break, and when we come back, I will talk about deodorant. Isn't that exciting? It's the show you love, ladies and gentlemen. I know it is. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, and I have no idea why the dogs are going completely and utter batshit. Now you can truly be your best thanks to DermGlowSkin.com. They make it so easy. Just complete the questionnaire, schedule a call to talk with a medical provider for approval, and the pharmacist fills your prescription, and it's delivered to your house. Boom. One injection once a week, and get ready to lose 21 to 26% of your weight, along with improving your blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure. It's FDA approved, and the results are real. I can tell you that because I've done it myself. DermGlowSkin.com offers semaglutide and tirzepatide for weight loss, in addition to NAD+, vitamin B12, sumerolin, and PT-141. How about all that stuff? God, jeez. So whether you crave a sexual boost, a cognitive boost, what? Or reduced inflammation. Ow! DermGlowSkin.com has got you covered. Get it shipped to your door. Get excited, ladies and gentlemen. Please do. And get skinny for Las Vegas. Get excited. Feel like yourself again. DermGlowSkin.com. Check them out. Yeah, deodorant. I'm curious. I didn't want to play that. I'm curious, Nick, if this is my thing. We talked about odor before when we were in the pre-show a little bit. But...
Yes.
I'm not stinking when I'm out in the sun and in the heat and stuff, but I am finding that the pleasant scent of my Dove for Men deodorant does not linger longer like it used to. Mm. And I'm a little challenged now to find the perfect. And the solution was in my son's bathroom, and that is, and I never thought I'd be one of these guys, I threw on some Old Spice.
Ooh.
And the Old Spice, the last time I heard about Old Spice, I think it was Donald Trump uses Old Spice. And you go into the drugstore, and there are 5 million different flavors of Old Spice deodorant that are in there. But I don't know. There might be a reason for that. I don't want to use Axe, because that's what, like, teenagers use. I don't want to use that product, you know? Yes, go ahead.
I am also been a Dove guy forever for my deodorant.
And do you still stand by it?
They were out of it when I went to the store the other day, and I went to Old Spice as well.
There you go.
So I'm following the same path.
You satisfied with your Old Spice?
It's almost a little too strong.
That's it. But I'm fine because...
I smell the vanilla.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Nick, do you, with no, I remember when you were an intern, no appreciable body odor.
I have never used a deodorant. I've never needed deodorant.
You have never used a deodorant.
Yeah. So there's a genetic thing. There's a certain gene. And interestingly enough, it means you don't have body odor. And then it also means that your earwax is different. It's like the same gene. It's really weird. But it's very prevalent in the Asian peoples.
Your earwax is. Do you salute every time we mention the Asian thing?
I'm doing that. Just
yeah, very good. Yeah.
You know, back in the day, we would have been like
Squid Game. Salute. Chinese basketball player. Salute. That's it. That's Nick's code for people. Every time he says something racist, I will salute. That's
it's
it.
Not right.
I know it's not right. But the earwax thing. Tell me about the earwax. No appreciable odor with earwax or something like that?
No, so the earwax thing, the texture is different. So I think that, you know, if you had to describe your earwax, like it, the consistency of like what? Like is like boogers kind of, right?
It's like, it is like a waxy substance,
right?
You know,
so my earwax is still waxy, but it's flaky. It like flakes off. It's not really? Like yeah. chunks and things like that. So
because you don't have the sweat to collect it. Probably it's probably the similar to whatever reason we're outputting sweat.
Do you perspire a lot?
I don't sweat that much, but I don't think that has to do with. I mean, I don't think that has to do with the same thing. I don't think it's the Asian thing per se. But you know, back in the day, the Don and Mike show, there was an incident where someone walked through. I think it was you. So like, walked through the control room, said, "Oh, someone stinks back there. It's probably Nick." And I said, "It can't be me because I don't have body odor."
No body odor.
You guys were like, "This is impossible." So fast forward like 15 minutes, you guys had me outside in the DC heat. Like wearing like 4 layers of clothing, doing jumping jacks and different calisthenics for like 30 minutes.
To see if, and didn't we conclude that you didn't have any appreciable body odor?
No body odor.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
It actually, I mean, to be honest, like there's like a very faint odor that can come through. but nothing that you could smell, like even like a foot or two from a foot or two away. You'd have to bury your.
I'm being totally honest here when I tell you that I have never ever thought about it until the last 2 or 3 weeks. And the reason I'm thinking about it right now is because I'll be honest. I'm saying I'm honest because I'm so nervous about saying it, but I have to say, I believe maybe it's old people stink that, you know, now that you get a little older as the body begins to break down, that, I mean, I really think about that and I don't know. You know what? I haven't searched it up. I will tonight. I will search old people smell on the internet and find out ages when you flip on over because, no, that's still Old Spice. I'm down with Old Spice.
You're going to be what they call nose blind. You know, we talk about, like, I worked in the coffee industry. Like, part of being a coffee expert is...
We never
like,
got to coffee today at all. We got to do that next. We got to do that. Go ahead. You talk about the nose blind.
Well, just the idea that, like, you know, in the same sort of way that our brains will kind of erase a humming, like you know, light bulb or something like that after like, you don't hear it. It after a while, like, your nose will also do that. So you can't... That's why you can't really smell your own breath. Can't smell your own body that well. So
yeah
we call that nose blind sometimes.
Oh, I know I work with a few DJs that were nose blind. That's for
the
sure.
Age of 40 is when your smell starts to change and go downhill.
It makes sense. It's a hormonal thing, right?
Wow I mean, it makes me sad. Yeah, really the Grim Reaper just standing outside waiting for me. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got some great video for you. And then, Nick, we're just going to have you back to talk about coffee. I'm sorry. We'll give you plenty of time. I don't want to abuse the privilege. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Time is running out. We now have just a few left of the brand new TMOS Summer Caps, the ultimate accessory for fans who want to show their support while staying cool. It's available in red, white, light blue, or black, ensuring there's a perfect match for everyone, plus tickets and merch for the grand reunion Las Vegas weekend and new t-shirts that you haven't even seen yet. Looking good. Don't miss the ultra cool TMOS commemorative coin. It commemorates great times and big fun. So, hurry up and support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. Just click store at MikeOMaraShow.com, the source for all things TMOS, official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember our motto, yes, I can't believe it's not butter. That's the one for the week. All right, we have our video standing by. There it is. There's Julia. Thank you, Julia. I'm sorry. There are pranks all over the internet. We all know that. There are tons of them. I have been sent this video that I'm sure has been out there for many, many years, perhaps many, many decades. It seems like it's old. I have been sent this video more than anyone. Michael, get the dogs in control. Put them in the room or put them somewhere where they're not barking during the whole show, please. Thank you. This is a prank where somebody ties a snake to the guy's ankle. And I love this.
Dead tree and let it fall on a neighbor's car.
Okay. Tied a snake to his ankle.
Oh,
jeez. Get the fuck out of here! It's fake! I'm sorry.
I don't like snakes. There he is. He hurt himself bad when he went back into that. I love the guy that's making the video. Just cracking up.
Freeze.
Look at breathe. That's awesome, isn't it? Fantastic. So, for all those who've sent that to me over the last year or so, thank you very much. I don't know. We got two in a row here, and I'm not sure how legit they are, Nick and Josh. But if this is legit, and I have no evidence that it is, but I have
not.
To share it. I hope not. If this is legit, you may want to rethink ramen.
Oh.
I'm going to go to the saloon. Is it Asian culture reference?
I don't know, but it was not because of Asian culture that I put it on the show. It's because I saw something that was nasty and creepy. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's mites. They're dust mites. They're mites. They're mites all
over.
I think
it's like a cube of ramen that somebody put like on a floor for 3 days,
something like that.
That's not coming out of the package.
They're not coming out of there like that, straight out of the package.
That's my theory too. Yeah. But I thought it was fun to watch because it might gross people up. And it for all of you Asian Americans out there, that had nothing to do with race. Moving right along, how about hot sauce?
Cool American ramen.
This guy, if it's legit, I just like the dude. I like the dude, and I like the consumption. If legitimate, I don't know how he can manage it, but just watch what he ingests, ladies and gentlemen.
Jalapeno and some convict's revenge.
It's a jalapeno with hot sauce on it.
A habanero.
I like his voice.
And some Hellfire Reaper jelly.
Hellfire Reaper jelly. And a habanero pepper. And he puts extra on there. And he's doesn't look like special effects to me.
No. You know, a lot of people lost.
And a bad guy. And some devil's tears.
Tears.
A lot of people lost flavor during COVID. And it's long-lasting, so I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Because he seems to be faking the
pain.
The pain. Okay. Let's see. This might be it.
And some kick the bag hot sauce.
What? Shit the bed hot sauce. There he goes. Uh-huh. I just love that video. Looks legit to me. Looks totally legit. I don't think he put that on the floor with dust mites. I'm not sure. Moving right along here. I can totally relate to this. I'm not sure if Josh or Nick can, but they've been in many relationships, as I have. But this to me is something, an exchange that I find very, very similar in the O'Mara household, even though it's a much younger guy than me. Go ahead and roll it.
Good time. Hey, now I'm going golfing.
Oh, no, hold on a second. Hold on. You got to go back to the beginning of it because he says she's asking to go out. Go ahead and roll that again.
I'm going out with the girls.
Okay, have a good time. Hey, now I'm going golfing.
You didn't say you were going golfing today.
I told you last week I was going today.
Who are you playing with?
Richard, Mo, and Roger.
What course are you playing?
Down the street, Twin Oaks.
Are you going to drink?
Just one beer.
What time is tea time?
1 o'clock.
Why are you leaving at 11?
Because we're going to practice. We're going to hit some rain balls.
What time are you coming back?
Around 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that means more like 8 p.m. Okay, have a good time.
There it is. Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? It's the, you know,
here's
my naked sexism. What's that?
I had one of those.
You had one of those? Okay. Being the operative word.
Everyone does.
Everyone. There you go. Just wanted to make sure it was legitimate. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, this flying video, for some reason, as soon as I saw this, I thought about John Denver, who was, I think, killed in an ultralight. And I don't want to, there is no spoiler alert because nobody gets killed. But it looks to me like this guy could fall out of the sky and crash in a moment's notice. And what I really liked about it was the GoPro perspective. It's an amazing flying video. So if you want to go flying, we're going to play this for you. Right now. I think he's going to crash there, right? Crash sounds. He amps up the engine again.
What's that stick that's just wiggling between his legs?
I don't know, but this whole video looks like he's going to crash into the tree line. And you're hearing that crunching sound, and it looks like a Briggs & Stratton lawnmower engine in the front. Okay. That's too short. Too short a runway. There's no way he can land there. He's going down. He's going down into the trees, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be horrible. No, no. Okay, now he's up again. I seriously, this whole video, I thought the guy was going to crash. Now he's waving at somebody down in the tree line. I have no idea why. Where the hell is he going to land? That's too small an area. Is he going to land? No, he's not going to. Oh, he's definitely going into the. There's the landing strip. I guess that's the landing. Look at this. Easy peasy. Bingo. Isn't that a great flying video? I love that. I really love
it. And a smoother landing than many of the flights I've been on.
Yeah, that's for sure. I get these all the time. I get these flying videos because perhaps I want to be a pilot. I watched this little boy 100 times as we end our time with your Korean dad. We got a few more videos here, but I wanted to share this because I thought this for some reason was something I thought Nick would like because I loved it. I watched this about 1,000 times, these two.
Huh? Yeah!
Cheered for the wrong team. Isn't that the most adorable video with the kid? He cheers when the other team scores a goal, and then he reacts just like his dad. That's pure so sweetness. Cute. That's why you have kids. We're going to close with this. We don't need the ageism one. That kid was too obnoxious with that. So I want to share this with you.
Leave with the cute kid.
We don't end with the cute kid. We end with me on the golf course again. Nick, I have a bit of a reputation among some of my playing partners. You were talking about golfing yesterday. This is kind of a golf-themed video, and this is a very quick one of me, usually every other day on the golf course. Take it away. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There, that's it. We got to get out of here. Thank you. A pleasure. Glad you were all along here. Me on the golf course. Nick, did you enjoy your couple of days with us this week?
I really enjoyed this throwback. It's like 1996 all over again, giving you my free labor.
Oh, yes. Absolutely free labor.
Unpaid
well,
again.
You can afford it. Anyway, it's Nick. Is your Korean dad. We wish you nothing but success. You can visit us anytime you would like. Come back and don't be a stranger. And if you ever want to share anything with us, you have an open invitation. And seriously, what a good time it's been rekindling our relationship. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Really appreciate it. And this has been a great experience. And like I've been saying over and over again, you mean more to me and in my life than you can imagine. It's just kind of funny to say, but it's true. It's grown up.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us. Josh, we will be returning tomorrow. The fun part of the week has officially ended for me as we will be joined by Mrs. Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara tomorrow. Yes, Carla will be co-hosting with me on tomorrow's show. God help us all, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. For Josh Soroka and Nick Cho, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.